Our scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Timothy 4, verses 11 through 16. 1 Timothy 4, verses 11 through 16. Hear now God's holy word. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth. But set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy, when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Let's now ask God to bless the preaching and hearing of his word. Our Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to study your word. And now as we dig into this time of scripture reading and exhortation, we ask that you would be with us, that you would teach us by your word and by your spirit. And Lord, I ask in particular that you would guard my mind and my mouth, and that I would only preach your truth. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Timothy had a difficult task before him. He was a young minister, probably in his early 30s, and many of the elders in the church at Ephesus were much older than he was. They had been there for many years, and some of them had been taught by the Apostle Paul himself. And yet Timothy was charged by Paul to preach to them in order to correct some of their wrong thinking. And this would have been an incredibly intimidating task for a young man, to preach to people that are older and wiser than he is, and to preach to people that had been taught by Paul. And brothers, for those of you that are pursuing pastoral ministry, this is something that you are going to be called to do, to go into congregations of God's people, men and women who have maybe walked with Christ for longer than you have been alive. And you're going to be asked to preach God's truth to them. And this can be intimidating. But our text this morning gives a great reminder and encouragement to ministers who might be feeling apprehensive or fearful as they preach to those of greater age or wisdom. Our text reminds us that ministers of the gospel are called by God and set apart by the church. And so, brothers, as men who aspire to the office of elder, the Lord calls you this day to grow in your calling as the church sets you apart. Grow in your calling as the church sets you apart. Now, for Timothy, he needed some confidence to take up the task that was set before him. And as you go about the work of pastoral ministry, it will take some measure of confidence as well. And that brings us to our first point this morning. Be confident in the work that you have been called to do. So in verses 6 through 10, Paul instructs Timothy in what it looks like to live a godly life. And then in verse 11, he tells Timothy to command and teach these things. That is, to command and teach the importance of godliness. But in order to teach and command the word of God, one must have confidence, especially when you're preaching to elder saints who have probably walked with Christ longer than you have. But you see, your confidence must be displayed with humility and a godly life. And your confidence must be not in yourself, but your confidence must only be in Christ. Verse 10 says, "For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe." And so your confidence must be in Christ, who perfectly exemplified what it means to live a godly and righteous life. In verse 12, Paul says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity." Now, when Paul says, "Don't let anyone look down upon you for your youthfulness," he's not saying to walk around and take issue with anyone that does not like you. He means that you ought to be concerned about and aware of how others perceive you. Essentially, he's saying, give no one reason to despise you for your youth. Charles Spurgeon says of this passage, he said, instead of walking around with theological revolvers in your trousers, be sensitive to how others perceive you. Remember, Paul says in verse 12, set an example in spirit and faith and in purity. Men, our hope and our prayer is that you will one day go out and preach sound doctrine. But you must also teach with your lives. Matthew Henry said of this text, he said, those who teach by their doctrine must teach by their lives, or else they pull down with one hand what they have put up with the other. And so you must be an example in word and in conversation. You must set an example in spirit, in faith, and in purity. A young preacher must be loving, not arrogant or rude. A young preacher must be faithful in his commitment to Christ, that is, in his words and in his actions. And a young preacher must live a pure life, flee from sexual immorality, vulgar words, and a coarse tongue. But what are some things that might cause a congregation of believers to look down upon you for your youthfulness? Well, maybe you struggle with youthful arrogance. Or maybe you exaggerate the truth. Maybe you struggle with pride or irreverent dogmatism. Or maybe you struggle with what a lot of young men struggle with and you have a sharp tongue. Maybe you're really harsh with people. When I was a student at Geneva College, there were a number of men who were young and relatively new to the Reformed faith. And in their vigor and in their excitement and in their immaturity, they entered into what we sometimes call the cage stage. They were in this stage where they were so excited about the Reformed faith, but in their immaturity, they would constantly seek arguments. They were constantly trying to split hairs. They would verbally attack anyone that disagreed with them. And we call it the cage stage because we sometimes want to lock these guys up in a cage before we send them out among God's people. But this is something that a young preacher ought to be very careful about. You see, these young men often seem like they're very, very confident, but they're really quite immature. And they're doing exactly what Paul is telling us not to do. And it causes harm to God's people. Brothers, give no one reason to despise you for your youthfulness, but set an example to believers in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. You see, you can show or display a gracious confidence. And if you need an example of a gracious confidence, then look nowhere further than the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ is not only the greatest example of a gracious confidence, but he is also who our confidence is in. Our confidence is in Christ and his word. And brothers, even though as a young man you might find it intimidating to think about preaching before a congregation of older and wiser saints, or maybe you're intimidated to preach before your professors in chapel, or maybe you're intimidated to preach before the presbytery. But brothers, you can do so with confidence, because your confidence is not in yourself. Your confidence is in Christ and his word. But you see, you're not just called to be confident, because confidence that lacks faithfulness is worthless. And that brings us to our second point this morning. Be faithful in your preparation for the work that you've been called to do. In verse 13, Paul says, until I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Paul begins verse 13 by essentially saying to Timothy that it would be a while before he returns to Ephesus. And there were things that Timothy needed to do in order to prepare for Paul's return. There was preparation that Timothy needed to do. First, Timothy must give careful attention to the reading of God's word. Paul knew of Timothy's diligence, and even so, he charges him to do the proper preparation by reading scripture. Well, why? Well, in order for a minister of the gospel to be able to teach others, he must be eager to learn himself. Secondly, Paul warns Timothy to give attention to exhortation, or the reading of God's word, or the preaching of God's word. Timothy's just been charged to pay careful attention to scripture, and now he has been charged to give careful attention to preaching. But how do we give attention to our preaching? Well, we do so by doing the proper preparation, by studying God's word, by digging into the languages, and by preparing sermons that accurately convey God's truth to our congregations. Thirdly, Paul tells Timothy to give attention to doctrine. And this is both an internal and an external command. Paul is commanding Timothy to be careful about his own internal theology. That is what he believes. But he is also commanding Timothy to be careful about what he teaches others. He must always compare his theology and doctrine to the scriptures. And if he believes something that is contrary to the scriptures, he must root it out. And he must never, ever teach that to others. But then Paul goes on and reminds Timothy not to neglect the gift that God has given him. And commentators point to two different gifts that the apostle might be referring to. You see, there's the gift that God has given Timothy in giving him all of the requirements and equipping him with the necessary gifts that he needed to be a gospel minister. But then there's also the gift of his ordination. You see, to be ordained for the gospel ministry is a gift of God. And the gifts of God will wither if they are not used or neglected. And so Paul is charging Timothy not to neglect the gifts that God has given to him. For God has given Timothy all of the gifts he needs in order to be an elder. And he has been set apart by the church. And God does not want these gifts to be unused or ignored by slothfulness. After all, Timothy had received both the internal and external confirmation of his calling. Paul points out that he had been called by God and set apart by the church when the elders laid hands upon him in his ordination. Timothy was called by God, but he was set apart by the church to be a minister of Jesus Christ. And brothers, like Timothy, you too have been called by God. And Lord willing, one day you will be set apart by the church. And you will be charged to be faithful in your preparation for the work that you've been called to do. And there are some significant ways that you have already shown preparation to this point. You've shown preparation in godliness, walking with the Lord. You've sought the counsel of your elders. That's likely why you were here at seminary. You're engaged now in seminary training, and if you haven't already, you will soon be beginning the presbytery exam process. So you've been called by God, and one day you will be set apart by the church. Do not neglect the gifts that you have been given. Be faithful in your preparation for the ministry. Be faithful in your reading of Scripture and praying for your own edification. One of my former seminary professors, who's now retired, once said, "If you are preaching before God's people and you haven't been regularly feeding upon the Word of God and praying for your own edification, all you have to offer them is stale water." And so stay in the Word, pray for your own edification, prepare significantly before you preach, and always seek the counsel of your elders. Some of you might know that in my undergrad days, I was a music major. I was a voice major. And there's a lot of preparation and faithfulness that is involved in studying music at the collegiate level. For me, I had to learn the proper vocal technique, and I had to practice it. I had to learn how to properly sing vibrato, and I had to practice this endlessly. I had to learn the classical vocal repertoire, and I had to spend 2 to 3 hours a night in the practice rooms. You see, there's a lot of preparation and faithfulness that you have to display in order to be successful in music school. And brothers, there are things that you will need to do in preparation for the work that you have been called to. Like the musician needs to prepare by practicing scales and techniques, so does the servant of God need to prepare for ministry by regularly reading God's word, by giving attention to the scripture, the preaching of the scripture, and believing and teaching sound doctrine. You are being called to an incredibly important task, and it's imperative that as you grow in your calling, that you are faithful in your preparation for the work that you've been called to. Now, faithfulness and preparation for ministry is very important, but without follow-through and diligence, it is of no avail. You see, if the servant of God is later careless or disinterested in the ministry of the church, it will be destructive to Christ's bride. That brings us to our third point this morning. Be diligent in the work that you have been called to. So Paul has just told Timothy what he needs to do in order to prepare for his ministerial duties. And now he tells him in verse 15 to be faithful in doing it. Timothy has been charged to meditate on or to be diligent in these things, to care so much about the ministry of the church that he gives himself fully to it. And the word translated here as meditate means to literally immerse yourself in something. Paul is telling Timothy to immerse himself in the ministry of the church. You see, Timothy should be so diligent and strive to make daily progress that his ministry will be more effective. And when his ministry is more effective, others will see and take notice. Verse 15 says, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Paul is telling Timothy that he ought to be making visible progress, progress that is visible to everyone. And this should be true for us today. People should be able to look at us and see our progress in the faith. Verse 16 says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Paul is saying to the young minister, there are two things to which you should be careful. Be diligent in your teaching and keep yourself pure. Calvin said of this text, it is not enough if he frame his life to all that is good and commendable and guard against giving a bad example if he does not likewise add to a holy life continual diligence in teaching. And on the other hand, doctrine will be of little avail if there is not any corresponding goodness and holiness in life. You see, our doctrine should match the teaching of God's word. And so, brothers, watch your doctrine closely to make sure that your beliefs line up with God's word. And then watch your life closely and make sure that your life lines up with what you believe. Finally, Paul tells Timothy that by heeding these commands, he will save himself and his hearers. Paul is reminding Timothy that ministers are involved in a saving work. Paul is reminding Timothy that it is by the preaching of the word that men and women are saved. And God has given this important task to sinful creatures such as ourselves, imperfect creatures such as ourselves. And while it is ultimately God who saves, and we cannot take any credit or glory from someone's coming to faith in Jesus, we must remember that we are the instruments that God uses to share his gospel. And brothers, it is by unfaithfulness and carelessness that churches are ruined. Paul is reminding Timothy to keep a careful guard on himself so as to preach the whole counsel of God and only the whole counsel of God. I mentioned earlier that I studied music in my undergrad, and obviously the Lord has taken me into a different vocational work. But my wife, who also studied music, she is a professional cellist, and I have seen her diligence in her work. I've seen her practicing scales. I've heard her maintaining technique. I've seen her immersing herself in the musical compositions before her. You see, to be a professional musician, you must constantly be making visible progress. And if you don't make visible progress, you're no longer invited to play with orchestras and symphonies. I've at times heard my wife practicing one measure for 20 minutes or more. Could you imagine practicing one measure for 20 minutes? But you see, to be successful as a musician, one must totally immerse themselves in the music. Similarly, ministers of the gospel must immerse themselves in the work of the ministry. Brothers, strive to make daily progress that it might be evident to all. Be diligent in preaching and keep yourselves pure. Remember that you cannot do this on your own, though, but you can with the help of Christ as he sanctifies you and conforms you more and more into his image. Friends, as our time this morning comes to a close, I just want to remind you of a few things. First, be confident in the work that you've been called to. But remember, your confidence must only come from Christ and his word. Secondly, be faithful in your preparation for the work that you've been called to. Remember, it's imperative that you are regularly reading God's word, that you pay careful attention to your preaching, and that you be careful to believe and teach sound doctrine. Thirdly, be diligent in the work you've been called to. You see, again, it isn't enough to do the preparation if you don't follow through, if you're not diligent. Be diligent in immersing yourself in the ministry of the gospel and keep yourself pure. Watch your doctrine closely to ensure that it lines up with what God's word teaches. And then look at your life and make sure that your life lines up with what you believe. And finally, brothers, remember that it is all by the grace of God who sent his son Jesus Christ to be the propitiation for our sins. You can't do this on your own. But with the help of Jesus and with the inward working of the Spirit, you can. Christ is the perfect example of a confident, faithful, and diligent shepherd of the flock. And if you place your trust in him, seeking to grow under his lordship, he will sanctify you and cause you to grow in your calling as the church sets you apart. And so, brothers, grow in your calling as the church sets you apart. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and for the way that it convicts us where we might be in sin. But Lord, we also thank you for the way that your word encourages us and causes us to grow. Lord, we do pray that each one this morning would be equipped for the work that you've called them to. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to remember that our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence isn't in what we believe people think of our preaching. Our confidence is in you and your word. So help us as we go out and preach to God's flock. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please turn now to Psalm 119M. We will sing the second stanza.